tropical flavour to start there. Renault, first of all, and Dakin Levant Souffleran, the Waterboys, and This Is The Sea. It's 17 minutes past 8, the full English breakfast show. Visitors to Dracula's Castle are being jabbed with needles rather than fangs after a COVID-19 vaccine centre was set up at the Transylvanian site. Medics with fang stickers on their scrubs are offering Pfizer shots to everyone who visits the 14th century Bran Castle in central Romania. It's part of a government drive to encourage more Romanians to get jabbed. Some believe the castle inspired the vampire's lair in Bram Stoker's iconic novel Dracula. Would you like to visit?
No.
Romania's recorded just over 1 million infections since the pandemic began and nearly 29,000 deaths. The country's government says it wants to vaccinate 10 million people by September, but almost half of Romanians say they're not inclined to get the jab, one of the highest hesitancy levels in Europe. Now, Bran Castle hopes its unique initiative will help boost vaccination numbers. During every weekend in May, anyone can turn up without an appointment to get a jab, and they also get free entry to the castle's exhibit of 52 medieval torture instruments. Wow, fantastic. Now, the idea was to show how people got jabbed 500 or 600 years ago in Europe, said the castle's marketing director. There's also hope that a service will bring more people to the castle in Romania's Carpathian Mountains, where tourist numbers have fallen during the pandemic. Do you get to have a lie down in a coffin afterwards? Now, the castle rises dramatically from the forests in the foothills of the Carpathian Mountains, 170 kilometres north of Bucharest. It's been associated with Stoker's vampire Count Dracula because it's thought to have hosted the infamous Prince Vlad the Impaler, on whom Dracula was based.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
And the iNewspaper says Andy Burnham has hinted he would like to become leader of the Labour Party after he was re-elected as Greater Manchester Mayor in a landslide victory amid the party's abysmal performance in local elections. Mr Burnham cemented his victory on Saturday with 67.3% of votes after Keir Starmer's party lost control of a host of councils to the Conservatives in former industrial areas that have traditionally supported it. The Tories also took Hartlepool in the by-election, turning the constituency blue for the first time since the 1970s when it was formed. After his victory, Mr Burnham suggested he would like to take the reins of the party in the future after rumours circulated he would be a front-runner to replace Sir Keir Starmer. In an interview with Sky News, Mr Burnham said, "I've been elected as Mayor of Greater Manchester. That is where my focus is. In the distant future, if the party were ever to feel it needed me, well, I'm here and they should get in touch."
In the connection, France, England has announced a reopening of foreign travel from May the 17th, but has not placed France on its green travel list. It has been classed as amber. This means that travel to France is not recommended, and anyone who does go there will have to self-isolate at their home on return for up to 10 days. The May 17th date applies to residents of England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, and have not said when they might ease their strict travel rules. Amber means that all travellers will need to self-isolate for 10 days when they return to England. Obligatory COVID-19 tests will be taken on day 2 and 8. An optional extra test on day 5 could allow leaving isolation early if it's negative. And a package of the two essential tests could cost between £160 and £350, although the UK government has said it will work with providers to reduce the costs.
And the Irish Times reports a major relaxing today of COVID-19 restrictions after 5 months of strict lockdown. It sees the return of non-essential retail by appointment, hairdressers and barbers, and easing of the rules around outdoor meetings and the resumption of religious worship in churches. BBC World Service News Live from London is coming up next.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
Monday morning pop quiz.
Very gentle with you this morning.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's the way I like it.
Question number one. He was born on this day in 1957. His group had a 1977 UK number 2 single with God Save the Queen.
John Lydon, Sex Pistols. What?
Sid Vicious.
He was Sid Vicious.
He was Sid Vicious.
He was Sid Vicious. Yes. He was vicious. He couldn't play the bass either at all to save his life. Glenn Matlock played all the bass on Nevermind the Here's the Sex Pistols.
Exactly. Well done. Question number two. This Irish singer-songwriter was born on this day in 1960. And he had the 1984 UK number 3 single, Pride in the Name of Love, plus over 25 other UK top singles.
Paul
with his
Hewson.
Group. Very good.
Bonio to his
Very
friends.
Very good. Yeah.
God, you are being gentle.
I know. And finally, on this day in 1969, Frank Sinatra's version of My Way made the UK's top 10 for the first time. Originally a French song with which title and sung by who?
It was Comme d'habitude.
By?
Claude François.
Correct.
You going to make me play it?
Yes, I certainly am.
Really?
Yeah, well, that's 3 out of 3. Well done. I told you I was being gentle this morning.
I thought Sufficiency said the first one.
What? Oh, yes. Well, yes, but...
Well, it's not the same person,
is it? It's not the same person.
I don't think John Lydon would be very pleased if you called him...
John Ritchie was
John
who
Ritchie.
I was looking for, but yeah. There you go. Mm. I thought you might have come out with that when I said Sid Vicious.
But well, I didn't.
No.
It's a very quiet start, isn't it?
Riviera Radio. Business.
Past the Duchy on the left-hand side, it's Hank Potts. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
Did you have a nice weekend?
A little bit uneventful. Lots of swimming with the kids. I've come to the conclusion that is the best way to take energy out of children is to take them swimming. So that has been my strategy over the course of the past few weeks.
It is a very good sort of thing to tire them out, I must admit. It's also extremely good for them.
Yes, wonderful. I like it. And it's nice being with them, actually. It's a very pleasant...
Were you coaching on the sidelines? Come and say, pick up the pace a bit there.
I'm in there with them, battling away.
Wearing your armbands.
my survival vest I've got on, ready to go.
Okay, markets, pretty good day on Wall Street on Friday, but so the non-farm payroll numbers were pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it was interesting. Non-farm payroll report once again proved its power as a market-moving data point, given the strength expressed in the high-frequency data. Investors have certainly geared themselves up for a positive number. Consensus was that the US economy would have created 950,000 jobs last month, which would have actually represented a significant acceleration of hiring from the February and March figures, and for the unemployment rate to tick lower. When the report came in, it showed payrolls increased by just 266,000. The March increase was downwardly revised. The unemployment rate rose to 6.1%. Economists put the shortfall down to a range of short-term factors, including shortage of labour, supply chain bottlenecks, and, of course, the old favourite, weather disruption. In terms of the impact, shows the report, workers are still cautious about coming back to work until further progress is made in controlling the pandemic. Does mean any discussion of tapering of the asset purchase programme will be taken off the table for the June FOMC meeting. But I don't think there's any need to overreact to the report. Fundamentals of the US economy remain strong, which in time should lead to further recovery in activity and strengthening employment. I think markets perhaps breathed a sigh of relief that a more elongated recovery phase would actually alleviate price pressures, allow central bankers to remain ultra-accommodative for longer and encourage policymakers to push ahead with aggressive fiscal stimulus. Hence, we saw good performance, you say, from equity markets.
So it's just a blip, is it?
It feels like just a blip, it has to be said. I think the outlook for the US economy is to say still remains strong, still talking about growth perhaps of around 7% during the course of this year. Look for US unemployment to finish the year around 4.4%. So as the economy reopens, the vaccination program continues at pace, service sector comes back on board, I think we will see that pick up in activity and hiring.
Pretty disturbing, the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, isn't it?
It is a concern. Colonial Pipeline, which we know carries somewhere around 2.5 million barrels per day of diesel, gas and jet fuel to the East Coast, representing around 45% of supply. So reportedly, you say this ransomware group that's been linked to other attacks have taken the pipeline offline in an attempt to extort money. Authorities are trying to win back control of the system. They're also implementing measures to transport fuel in other ways. Pipeline still closed, so short time upside to prices. We have seen some reaction in markets today, crude up around about 0.9%. Gasoline prices at their highest level since May 2018. Gasoline futures up 1.85% as we speak. The question is, of course, how long does it last? The good news is that inventories are plentiful. We're not in the driving season in the United States yet, so let's hope authorities can gain control of that situation.
There's more and more of these attacks. I mean, the NHS has been repeatedly targeted in the UK, and it's normally a question of updating software, isn't it?
It's a question of making sure you've got the correct systems in place to try and thwart these attacks, which, you know, coming far too common, it has to be said. Again, it's in stresses the importance of investing in your systems and making sure you've got the correct security in place, and it's certainly been an area we think has been attractive for investors.
And Adidas is doing pretty well, must be because I was wearing my tracky bottoms on Saturday.
Can imagine they see you as a great model for their sportswear. Adidas shares jumping on Friday, up 9% after German sportswear maker reported Q1 results and increased its sales forecast for the year. Q1 profit rose to €558 million from €31 million a year earlier. Sales jumped 20%, driven by solid results in direct consumer and e-commerce. Adidas said it now expects sales to increase by around 50% in the second quarter at a high teens rate for 2020. Full year net income, I said, will be in the range between 1.25 and 1.45 billion euros, although they will, of course, have some costs relating to the divestment of its Reebok brand. Sportswear maker said it should get a boost from the return to sporting tournaments. I think you've got the Olympics coming up. Olympics not that far away, is it? 70 days, something around that, perhaps the Olympics. You've got the European Football Championships as well. So hopefully you should do well on the back of those.
Says the man who was frightening all the old ladies with his budgie smugglers in the pool over the weekend.
Budgie smugglers. Villabequins, thank you very much. Yeah.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.40 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.215. Going to get €1.15 for your British pound this morning. Opening calls very quickly, looking very positive this morning. Coney Coin FTSE up 190 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 146 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 84 points.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hank Potson, Barclays.
This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Leister has the top stories across the Riviera.
Two individuals have been stopped by police in connection with the shooting of an officer in Avignon 4 days ago. Police arrested the men at a pay toll on the A9 motorway south of Avignon Sunday. Police officer Eric Masson was shot dead during an anti-drug operation in the city centre last Wednesday, May the 5th. The investigation continues. Meanwhile, French Prime Minister Jean Castex will head a ceremony in Avignon tomorrow to pay tribute to the policeman killed. The Prime Minister will be accompanied by the Minister of the Interior. France's vaccination campaign against COVID is accelerating, with the head of state announcing that nearly 20 million people in France have received the first dose, reaching the target set out by the French government for mid-May. Meanwhile, the number of people in intensive care has fallen below the 5,000 mark. On April the 26th, nearly 6,000 people were admitted to intensive care due to COVID, and a peak of 7,000 was reported during the first wave in spring of last year. In addition, 9,128 new cases of COVID have been reported over the last 24 hours in France. Meanwhile, no new cases of COVID were declared in the Principality on Sunday. To date, 2,479 residents have been affected since the start of the health crisis. One patient is in hospital in intensive care, and 17 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. A 14-year-old girl has been hit and killed by a train in Golfe-Juan. The accident happened on Sunday afternoon, shortly before 3 p.m. The victim later died from her injuries. The train network came to a standstill between Nice and Cannes in both directions as emergency services intervened, resuming shortly after 5 p.m. And the exact circumstances leading to the tragic incident remain unclear, although first reports suggest she had taken her own life. Two women have been seriously injured after a road accident in St Paul-de-Vence. The women, who were at the time both driving scooters on the RM36 on Sunday afternoon, were taken to Pasteur Hospital in Nice. Their condition is reported to be stable. Police have appealed for any witnesses to come forward to determine the cause of the collision. The mayor of Fréjus, David Rachelin, has called for police reinforcement. After a night of urban violence at the weekend, the mayor called for action to be taken. On Saturday night, violence broke out in the town with several police officers injured and a dozen businesses damaged. Linked to drug trafficking, the Gabelle district has become a regular scene of clashes with police. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has asked for clarification on the political position of his former party, the Republicans. following his party's refusal to ally with the Republic en Marche in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region. Estrosi chose to leave, announcing his departure last week. He has since denounced too much time and hesitation to answer a clear question as to whether his party were leaning towards the National Front or the President of the Republic. He did not indicate the intention to create a new party, but has called for the reorganisation and unification of political life in France. France is due to go to the polls in the presidential election in April next year. Finally, French President Emmanuel Macron has called for a more agile and reactive European Union. The head of state made the statement on Sunday at the launch in Strasbourg of the Conference of the Future of Europe. The conference is a citizen consultation via an online platform. Macron is behind the project, which was set up ahead of France taking its turn with the presidency of the EU next spring. Macron described the conference as an unprecedented exercise to map out the next 10 years.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Formula One, Lewis Hamilton won the Spanish Grand Prix on Sunday after Mercedes outfoxed Red Bull on tyre strategy. Hamilton's third win in four races this season came despite losing the lead to Max Verstappen at the first corner. Mercedes put Hamilton on a two-stop strategy and he then closed a 23-second gap in 18 laps to pass the Red Bull with six laps to go. Verstappen continued with a one-stop strategy after losing the lead and held on for second. He also scored an extra point for the fastest lap. Valtteri Bottas and the other Mercedes finished in third. Hamilton now has a 14-point lead over Verstappen heading into Monaco on the 23rd of May. Football, there were four games in the English Premier League on Sunday and West Brom have been relegated. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. In the Premier League on Sunday, Manchester United came from a goal down at half-time to win 3-1 at Aston Villa. United now require just a single point from their remaining four games to secure a Champions League place. No one has won more times from losing positions in the Premier League this season than United. So for manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I look at it, we've travelled in Europe all season, we've had to come back sometimes. It's just a coincidence at times, you know, the goal today, that was the first look on goal really, and they score on it. So well done to the boy because it was a great finish, but well done to my boys once again, having the resilience, having the belief, having the character, having the quality to come back.
West Bromwich Albion have become the second side to be relegated from the Premier League after a 3-1 loss away at Arsenal. The first time in his managerial career that Baggies boss Sam Allardyce has suffered relegation.
It's painful, but, you know, it's not what I wanted. I wanted it for the players, I wanted it for the club more than I wanted it for me. But obviously it hasn't happened, so everybody has to get down and accept it and recover quickly in the next couple of days because we've got three still very big games, as far as I'm concerned, to try and deliver performances that will bring us results.
West Ham United's pursuit of a Champions League place was dented by visitors Everton. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's 24th-minute strike was enough to secure the points for Carlo Ancelotti's side. West Ham remain in fifth place, 5 points off qualification for Europe's leading club competition. And in the day's other game, Brighton lost 2-1 at Wolves. The Seagulls need one more result to secure their Premier League status for another season. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
One game tonight, Fulham will be relegated if they fail to beat Burnley at Craven Cottage. Nice little win for Chelsea on Saturday.
It certainly was. I got your text. Thank you very much.
The problem is, though, having beaten them in the FA Cup semi-final and now in the league, you just get a feeling the Champions League final, you know, they might have the final word, Sissy.
Well, what did you say? The mighty Chelsea, I think, was the words that you...
Well, I did at the time. It's quite euphoric, you know, that last-minute winner. St Johnstone are through to the final of the Scottish Cup after beating St Mirren 2-1 on Sunday. St Johnstone will play Hibs in the final after they beat Dundee United 2-0 in the other semi-final. Rugby Union, there was one game in the Gallagher Premiership in England on Sunday. Harlequins won a thrilling game against Wasps at the Stoop, 48-46. In the Guinness Pro 14 Rainbow Cup, Cardiff Blues beat Dragons 17-16. Tennis, world number 6, Alexander Zverev has won the Madrid Open. The German came through 6-7, 6-4, 6-3 against the Italian world number 10, Matteo Berrettini, who'd been seeking his maiden ATP Masters 1000 title. And in golf, Rory McIlroy has won his first title since 2019 with victory in the Wells Fargo Championship at Quail Hollow. The world number 15 shot a closing 68 to win by one stroke. The victory came just 6 weeks after McIlroy started working with coach Pete Cowan. Abraham Anser finished second with Victor Hovland and Keith Mitchell in a tie for third.
The weather forecast brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Amaraseum in the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,007 millibars over Sardinia. Winds are northeasterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, showers, force 3 to 5, southwesterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southeasterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, showery, force 4 to 6. Southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Sunshine and showers today, with more persistent rain coming along this afternoon by the looks of it. Moderate to strong southeasterly winds, a high of 19 degrees. Overnight lows 14 to 16 degrees with outbreaks of rain across the region. Tuesday and Wednesday, sunshine and showers tomorrow, partially cloudy on Wednesday, highs of 17 to 21 degrees. Finally,
a fed-up Peter Finnan is in a flap after being woken at 5 a.m. every morning by a squawking seagull at his front door. The seagull bashes away at his letterbox around 2 hours before he's due to get up for work. He said the bird, nicknamed Boris by his children, took a shine to a brand new door, which is grey, that they had fitted 2 weeks ago. And the frazzled family are at their wits' end due to the seagull. And I don't know whether you saw it, but last night on French television, there's a whole documentary about a little old lady in Nice that is causing havoc by feeding the pigeons.
Oh, dear.
And it has led to the local residents. They're literally unable to go out. Their cars are covered in pigeon poo and they can't even sit out on their balconies. And it's become a real, real problem.
They told her not to do it.
They've told her not to do it. They've had the town hall round. They're trying to come to an agreement. But, yeah. Pigeons. You don't have a problem with pigeons.
We don't only have wood pigeons in Geneva.
Oh, I see. My mother wrote a book about Peter the Pigeon in Nice once.
Did it get published?
No, I don't think she's finished it. She asked me to finish it.
Peter the Pigeon. Right. You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieraradio.mc. Stand up if your name is Finlay and you were 16 yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yes, many, many happy returns. Now you're 16, you can do almost anything. Well, not anything, but quite a lot of things. And your dad wanted me to play you some Scottish song. I think a nursery rhyme which mentions Finlay. And I looked for it everywhere and I couldn't find it. And then your mum said he made it up.
Oh, no. That kept you busy then.
Anyway, your mum said Finlay was born at Princess Grace Hospital. We'd taken a portable radio with me in the old days and we had Riviera Radio on all day. It helped distract and pass the time. The nurses liked it too. When I held him for the first time, Your Song by Billy Paul was playing. Obviously the words, How Wonderful Life Is Now You're in the World, always makes me cry. So very, very happy birthday for yesterday. Hope you had a great day. And here is Billy Paul, especially for your mum.